It's his time on a Friday morning, August the 12th, 2016. Buzz Aldrich in on this segment, filling in for Andy Bates this morning. And we have a couple of guests on the line to discuss something that they're very familiar with from Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. We have the director for outreach, as well as the manager of congregational outreach. Director of outreach, that is the gentleman that we have on the line this morning, Folabi Olagbaju. How are you this morning?
Good. Great to be with you, Buzz.
Glad you could make it. And Amanda, you are with us. Amanda Sheldon, you're the manager of congregational outreach. Welcome to Worldwide KFUO and his time.
Thank you.
Well, I understand that you are both very excited about something that happened recently in the past, and I don't know which of you wants to take this question, but there was an awful lot of interesting work going on recently, and we'll get to that in a moment, with youth. But we want to find out, before we get into that, just exactly what it is that Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service does in the biblical basis of work, and how it's connected to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then we can get on to something fun. I mean, let's get the basics out of the way.
Yes, boss. Again, thanks so much for having us. We are Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. We are a ministry of Lutherans. We were established more than 76 years ago by Lutherans to engage the Lutherans in welcoming migrants and refugees. And as you would know, Lutherans, particularly more than any other mainline Protestant groups, have a special root as an immigrant church. And we Lutherans definitely have more sensitive to the issue of immigration. As you will recall, and as your listeners will recall, after World War II, one out of every six Lutheran was a refugee. So LRS was established more than 76 years ago to promote welcome for migrants and refugees within the Lutheran community. In addition to working on issues of immigration and refugee, we also work to provide support for children, particularly children who are coming to this country unaccompanied and looking for safety and protection. We also do much work around the issue of people who are trafficked, either for sex trafficking or for slave work. And we also do a lot of work with people who are survivors of torture, working with Lutherans to help them rebuild their life, overcome the trauma that is in their life. Now, with regard to the biblical basis for our work, as you know, and as a lot of your listeners know, we as people of faith, are called to bear prophetic witness to God's love for all people. God loved the sojourner. In the Leviticus 19:33-34, we are told that when a stranger sojourns in your land, you shall not do him harm. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Thus we were told in Leviticus. Jesus himself was a refugee. When baby Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had to spread him out of Bethlehem to Egypt to escape the wrath of King Herod. Since then, Lutherans have been responding to God's call to welcome the stranger through ministries of mercy and the service. Today, it's very important to remember that many Christians forget that the U.S. is, historically speaking, a nation of immigrants. And this historical amnesia has kind of led to cold and sometimes lukewarm receptions of the new immigrants. Finally, it's very important to remember that we are one body of Christ, and when one part of the body is injured or sick, it affects the rest of the body. So that is the basis, the scriptural basis for our work.
And you've been doing this work. LIRS has been doing it since 1939.
That's correct. More than 76 years ago.
Well, now, I can tell you for sure. I know that there was probably not one youth from 1939 involved last month in the National Youth Gathering, and LIRS was taking part in something that was very interesting there. Could you tell us a little bit about the Syrian refugee experience, the simulation that you held at the National Youth Gathering?
Yeah, I can start that, and Amanda can chime in here. We first, because of the news, the attention that the plight of Syrians are fleeing war, catastrophic humanitarian crisis in their country, and looking for protection in other places has been in the news. And we felt that it's very important to create greater awareness, particularly within youth, about the humanitarian catastrophe that was caused by this Syrian civil war. As your listeners may know, this war has been going on for many, many years. And in that time, more than 11 million Syrians, which is about 50% of the entire population, have been displaced by violence, by civil war, and the growing threat of ISIS. 76% of these 11 million are children and women. And I'm sure many of your listeners also know that thousands have died attempting to flee this horrendous situation for protection in Europe. Many of them dying in the Mediterranean Sea. We also thought it's very important for the young people to know that we as a country, the United States, has a moral and legal obligation for accepting Syrian refugees. So that was why we felt that, you know, by having this, taking this the advantage of this opportunity with the LCMS youth gathering in New Orleans to really share with the youth who gathered there what is actually happened there in a very deep and personal way, so that they can actually put themselves in the place of these Syrians, these youth, these women who are fleeing, and so that they can be touched, you know, and that we can also change hearts and minds. So the opportunity came, and we really were very grateful and appreciative of the opportunity for us to be able to share some of these experiences with the youth.
And Amanda, what would you like to add to what happened?
Well, I can fill in a little bit of the details of what these youth actually lived and experienced when they went through this simulation. And I think, as Falabi said, it was really moving for them. So they started out with a profile of a real Syrian refugee who's alive in the world today, who's actually survived the journey out of Syria. And so they started looking at that and embodying that profile and story. They went through a room where they had less than a minute to gather items they would take with them on their journey, which that's the amount of time refugees usually have to gather any belongings and get out of danger. They went through an escape route where we had things that simulated landmines and lights, and we during the day they had to stop and find safety because it's unsafe for refugees to travel during the day. They can often only travel by night. They got to see what a real refugee camp would look like with items and tents from the UN Refugee Agency. And I can tell you that the youth were appalled to learn there that refugees on average spend 17 years in a refugee camp. Then we had a space where they got to see some of the rafts that people are using to try to find safety in Europe and learn a little bit more about the land routes and what it's like for people to get on those rafts, what they have to pay for their own life jacket, and they may not have money for that. They went through the security screening process that every refugee who ever comes to the United States of America has to go through, and it stretched. We had it printed on a piece of paper that stretched the entire length of one wall of the exhibit. Very rigorous security screening process. And then at the end, we had a really fantastic hall of welcome where we had photos of Lutherans around the country who are welcoming refugees and scripture. And we also had some sort of negative refugee signs there. And we really asked these youth, now that you've experienced this, what kind of, as a follower of Christ, what kind of welcomer do you want to be to refugees? And they really got to see that what Lutherans are doing to welcome refugees in the state.
Yeah, this is a very different look at things. In fact, I bet some of the youth didn't even have an idea what might be experienced by a refugee, an immigrant.
Absolutely. There was a lot of surprise there and a lot of compassion.
So this was something that was created specifically for the youth, is that right?
Yes, definitely. It was specifically created to engage young people who have a hunger for knowledge about what's happening in the world. But, you know, we also know that over 50% of refugees are children. So this is what their peers on the other side of the world are experiencing.
Do you think this was something that they reacted to maybe different from adults, if an adult had seen this simulation?
Actually, the experience was equal, you know, on both sides. It was very transformative experience for many, many who came there. We have adults who were basically crying after they left the experience, says, I had no idea that this is what they had to go through. I had no idea that this is the kind of rigorous security process screening that that refugees have to go through. Because many people just have no knowledge that refugees are the most scrutinized and vetted group of immigrants ever to set foot on the U.S. As Amanda was saying, before admission, each refugee undergoes a very rigorous and extensive interview with background screening, including biometrics and security clearance by our Department of Homeland Security. And many people have no idea. The youth in themselves, we were very lucky to have about six volunteers who were young adults. They've come to the previous youth gatherings in the past. And at the end of the exhibition, when we were doing a debrief, many of them candidly told us that when they first came and when they first volunteered to help us with this exhibit, they were on the other side of the issue, that they weren't sure whether U.S. should be accepting refugees or whether we should be welcoming refugees. And after they spent 4 days with us, 5 days with us in the experiential learning, they were changed. They said they were ready to go, that they were going to be doing everything possible within their churches, within their workplaces, to really educate others about the need to stand for welcome. So it was a very transformative and inspiring event, not just for the people who came, young and adult, even the staff, ourselves, our own staff, were very moved by the reception that we got at the gathering.
Well, I know Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service always puts out a lot of information on your website, LIRS.org, and I'm sure that part of it is to inform people that may not know what's going on with rules and regulations, and as you said, with the deep screening process of vetting immigrants that are trying to move into the United States. Depending upon where they're from, it's still going to take them a lot of paperwork and time. I'm assuming from what I read when I'm on LIRS.org that you are getting phone calls from people and letters and emails from people that want to get involved in what your ministry does. Is this the case?
That is the case. As you will recall, in the aftermath of the Paris and the Brussels bombing in 2015 and 2016, many people were really afraid in terms of the security, and there were, you know, and it created a kind of anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant coming together to stoke fear in people's minds. But fortunately, from where we are in Baltimore, the overwhelming public response has been positive, with Lutherans calling every day. Our phone keep ringing off the hook, saying, what can I do to help? Many of them saying, I want to sponsor refugees, not just any refugees. They want to sponsor Syrian refugees. So it is very heartening and pleasantly surprising for us that, you know, Lutherans are standing up. And this is what Lutherans do best. You know, who can we help? How can we help? And so this is what we are getting. In spite of what you might be reading in the paper or what your audiences might be reading in the paper, what we are hearing in Baltimore is that Lutherans are calling us every day asking how can we help.
So, we've only got about a minute and a half here. If we are at our congregations and we're discussing this with our neighbors in the pews, what can we do to get them involved?
I think I can answer that. And there are two really great ways. One is to celebrate Refugee Sunday, which is at www.refugeesunday.lirs.org. A fantastic opportunity to learn about refugee ministry in the States, celebrate the gifts of refugees who are here. We have sermon notes, bulletin inserts, a video, tons of materials to make it easy for churches to lift up the refugee story in worship. The second thing is a congregation can prayerfully decide to welcome a refugee family to America. And these are folks who have gone through all of the security screening. You'll get the support of the Lutheran Social Services affiliate who can say, how do I actually welcome a family who might not speak English and is starting over here, but really needs the church to extend a welcome to them on day one and on day 90 and for years later. So welcoming a refugee family is something that churches can really do to support this ministry.
And thankfully, LIRS has been doing this kind of work. My math is bad this morning. What is it, 1939 to 2016? How many years?
77 years.
That's right, 77 years. So we want to thank both of you for taking time this morning to tell us a little bit more about what's going on with Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Your website is LIRS.org, and I know you have a lot of information there. And I'd like to thank the Director for Outreach from LIRS, Folabi Olagbaju. Did I say that right?
Yes, my mother could not have said it any better.
Okay. And Amanda Sheldon, the manager of Congregation Outreach for LIRS. Thank you both for being with us this morning on His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Thank you, and blessings on your ministry.
Blessings. More His Time on the way on Worldwide KFUO.